So what, we may ask, is the relation between going forth and going for refuge? Here we have to remember that there are different levels of going for refuge. You may remember that they are the cultural, the provisional, the effective, and the real. Similarly, there are four levels of going forth. There's a cultural going forth. That's when one, in a Buddhist country, just becomes a monk, just undergoes the ceremony of monastic ordination without any real sense of vocation. Just because it's part of your culture. And though this is very often accompanied, this cultural going forth, by a very strong sense of socio-religious status. Then there's the provisional going forth. The provisional going forth is when you give up worldly life for the time being, just to see what it's like to be without all those things. Yeah? This happens, of course, to some extent at least, when you go on a long retreat, whether a solitary retreat or a retreat with friends. Effective going forth is when you're making a sustained, systematic effort to give up worldly attitudes. And also when you do this with the help of at least a degree of external renunciation. Real going forth is equivalent to stream entry. So when we compare going forth and going for refuge, we have to compare cultural with cultural, provisional with provisional, and so on. As order members, we are basically concerned with effective and real going forth, with effective and real going for refuge. So how are these related? Both of them are expressions of a movement from the mundane to the transcendental. The first, the going forth, is more general, more philosophical, as it were, taking philosophical more in the ancient Greek sense. And the second is more specific. We may say it's the more religious form of the same thing. So we can go forth without going for refuge, but we cannot go for refuge without going forth. Perhaps you'd like to reflect a little on that in future. So there are many different ways in which we, as Buddhists, can go forth. Going forth has many different aspects. And I want to spend the rest of my time this evening going into just some of them. I'll deal with them under three headings. Going forth in respect of one's body. Going forth in respect of one's speech. Going forth in respect of one's mind. We're all familiar with this tripartite division of the human person. It's reflected, of course, in the distribution of the 10 precepts. There are 3 precepts for purification of body, 4 precepts for the purification of speech, and 3 for the purification of mind. The 10 precepts themselves represent a going forth. A going forth from the unskillful to the skillful, from the impure to the pure. And this particular going forth, of course, follows immediately from the act of our going for refuge. All this is well known to you. So I'm not going to say anything about the 10 precepts as a going forth. I want to speak about aspects of going forth that may not, at least in some cases, have occurred to you. But before going on to these, I'd like to say just one thing. I sometimes get the impression that not all order members are as scrupulous, shall we say, about the observance of the 10 precepts as they might be. But the 10 precepts are really very, very important. They're an expression of our going for refuge. They're the foundation of all spiritual progress. They're the foundation of meditative experience. They're the foundation of real understanding of the Dharma. So if our observance of the precepts is lax, it means that our going for refuge is weak, and it means that our spiritual progress will be slow or uncertain or even non-existent. So order members need to be very careful about their observance of the precepts, very careful about their ethical life generally. We should encourage one another to observe the precepts, should discuss our mutual observance of them at chapter meetings, and so on. If everyone does that, then the health, the ethical health at least of the order, will be assured.